Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and this is another weekly podcast that we're bringing to you. And on this podcast, you know, I want to talk about investing in real estate. You know, we're all real estate investors, or many of you are listening to that are a real estate investor, and you sign in every week to learn about real estate investing, asset protection, tax planning. And one of the things that I'm always looking for are different opportunities when it comes to real estate investing, meaning what is a different approach? Because there's a lot of gurus out there that talk about the fix and flips, and you can make money at that. And there's people who teach you about mobile homes, or there's individuals that'll teach you about buying single families and getting that mailbox money coming in. And everyone has their niche. But what I always find interesting is when I meet that one special person, when I'm at an event or I'm at somewhere speaking, and they come up to me and they say, "Clint, have you thought of this?" And all of a sudden you switch from, as I like to say many times when I'm speaking, you can be in beta mode because you've given a presentation so much, and then you automatically move right into alpha mode. I'm sure many of you that are listening in know what I'm talking about, that somebody will say something and it'll just trigger and your brain just automatically goes into overdrive. And like, I want to learn more about that. Well, I was recently in Austin and I was teaching an event to a group of real estate investors, and an individual came up to me and he started talking to me about his way of investing. And I tell you what, my brain just shifted right into alpha at that point in time. I thought, this is awesome. This is a different approach to real estate investing. This is something I want to bring to the podcast. I want to get out there for our listeners so that they understand that you can look at real estate from a different perspective and that there are ways to make money where ordinarily all the other investors are driving by and bypassing the properties. You're going to be walking or going by those properties and you're going to see opportunities. You know, there was when I was growing up, this is something that I was experienced firsthand when my father took an old rundown hospital that just sat there. Nobody saw it as income potential. I mean, who wants to buy a hospital? But my father saw it as an opportunity to turn it into an apartment building. And that's what he did. He remodeled it, turned it into an apartment building, and he made a ton of money doing it. And so it's understanding that where other people don't see value, you need to see value. And the person I have with me today is Solomon Floyd from Reunion Investments. I met him in Austin, and he is one of those people that sees value where other individuals do not. So Solomon, thank you for being on.
Awesome. Thanks for having me today, Clint.
Yeah, it's great. So when we were talking in Austin, you were telling me about a property you did in Flint, and we can get into that in a little bit. But you know what really intrigued me is, you know, story. How did you get started in real estate? What brought you into investing?
Absolutely. So kind of a crazy story, but when I was in the military, I did the dumb, stupid thing of buying a house as soon as I got to my first base, because why not, right? You know, it was essentially no money down, payments fit really well, and it was going to be a good idea. Well, I deployed a couple months after that, and I rented my house out to some guys who, in exchange for rent, fixed up the property, and you know, it was looking good. So I get back, and this investor calls me up, and he's like, "Hey, I want to buy your house." And I'm like, "What? No way. Get out of here. You don't want to buy my house." And I was, you know, I'll entertain him. So he's like, "How much is it rent for? You know, what'd you buy it at? Yada, yada, yada." And I tell him, you know, I bought the property for 78 grand. He's like, "How much did you put into fixing it?" I was like, "Well, I let the guys live there for free and they fixed it up." And he's like, "Whoa. So, I mean, you're only into this thing for 78,000? I was like, "Yeah, I guess so." And then he decides, you know, "Well, you know what? Because you're renting it at you know, $2,000 a month and, you know, it looks good, you know, it's worth about 200,000. And I was like, "No way. Get out of here. Get out of here. There's no way. It's not possible." And lo and behold, he offers me $200,000 for my house. And I said yes, not doing comps or noticing that it was worth $250,000. But, you know, hey, it was a pretty good profit. So I paid off my VA loan and decided to try it again and again and again and again until my friends asked me and they said, "Hey, can you do the same thing for me?" I said, "Sure." Then, you know, their friends, their family, everybody started coming to me and asking, "Hey, you know, I want a property in this kind of market that I can flip." And you'll notice something about military members is that, you know, we get paid to rent. We also get paid to buy homes. So selling them was easy. Then I got out and I decided, you know, why don't I just rent primarily the military? And that's how Reunion Investments was started.
All right. So when you talk about renting the military, I think the people that are listening here are thinking, well, what's so special about just renting to military members? I mean, you took it a little different way. I mean, you just didn't start renting to military members. You went actually out there and started working with the government, as I understood what you told me.
Exactly. So it took a while, but I ended up being in the right place and right time. I met somebody who could help me get a government housing contract to house military members throughout all United States-based military installations. And it's been one thing that's really helped us keep us alive and keep my investors strong. As some of you who do rent to military members will know, there is a clause that they can just break the lease if they get deployed or orders to leave. And that deters a lot of investors from renting to military. So a lot of military members have to settle on what's left. And it's usually not good housing. So that's what we focus on.
So when you're renting the military members, who's actually paying you? Is it the serviceman or is it the military that's paying the rent?
Absolutely. So that is good old Uncle Sam that is taking that money from what is known as BAH, Basic Allowance for Housing. And that money gets allocated per base. And a lot of people don't know this either, but military base gets about, on average, $1.6 billion just for housing military members. And that is allocated towards the BAH of each military member on that installation, along with the civilians as well.
So that money comes in. So then who's paying the rent payment every month? Is it Uncle Sam that's writing you the check?
Exactly. It is the federal government that is writing the check every time.
Wow. And you see, that's the best thing about one aspect of what you do with this military contract that you have is that you no longer have to worry about whether or not that service member is going to be paying you money. The money's coming every month right to your mailbox from the federal government. So you're not chasing anyone for the money. So if they want to go out and they spend more money on beer and they have less for rent, hey, you're paid. You're good to go. So that's a great thing about it. But as I understand it, though, you even developed a program where people have property near bases. They can tie into what you have.
Well, that's exactly right, except the difference is my contract doesn't make me an on-base housing contractor. An on-base housing contractor is going to have a limitation of the size of the base, which is usually a couple hundred homes, which, don't get me wrong, is a very big deal. But if you look outside the base, you're going to see a couple thousand homes, and that's where your real money is going to be made. Military members are going to do the same thing that regular civilians do. They're going to live in the nicer homes. They're going to want a pool. They're going to want a big backyard. Military housing is standard. Our housing is actually bought by investors and put into our program. So that way they can receive those military rents every single month as landlords.
Yeah, so there's something key there. Again, this is what I thought was just amazing. If I had property, let's say in Killeen, Texas, next to an Air Force base, I could put that property into your program, start receiving guaranteed rental income from the federal government to put a service member into that property. And I just sit back and cash the checks. I don't have to worry about all the other hassles that go into trying to rent the properties because now the government is paying to house a person there, right?
Exactly. And that's exactly how it works. Some other perks that do come with that are, you know, for example, they'll take care of any damage caused to the property should it be deemed caused by a military member. You'll have about a 3-month renter insight to know when your next renter is showing up to the property. So you're kind of always aware of who and when you'll be renting to all the time.
It's like an Airbnb, which you don't have to do anything for. They're taking care of it all for you. That's amazing. And you were able to get this agreement. You put it all together, right? Because you said you were at the right place at the right time.
Yes, indeed. It was a couple months of getting all this together. The paperwork was unfortunately very painful, but at the end of the day, I think we came out on top.
Yeah. And so that's what attracted me to your idea of investing is the way you look at things is that you saw an opportunity and you say, hey, there's a need here. Everybody's going about it the wrong way. I guess that's the way I looked at it from what you're telling me is you're just listing your property near a base, hoping a service member will come and rent it for you. You're like, hey, let's just go right to Uncle Sam himself and have him rent the properties from me and put the people in. And I think that is what people miss many times with investing is that understanding there are other ways to do things. You just got to get creative, which brings me to my next point. We were talking, if you recall, about Michigan. You were investing in Michigan and that water crisis and everything that went on there, how you saw opportunities. I mean, I'm sure the listeners are going to love to hear about this. Why don't you tell them that story?
Absolutely. So as many of you know, Flint, Michigan has had issues and currently still having issues with its water, both being drinkable and just totally, I mean, potable water, not even an option for some people right now. And the thing that I noticed was, you know, our president was saying that there was a problem going around the United States and diverting money to a wall, even though he promised to divert some money to Flint, Michigan to help them out. And it blew my mind that that's where my tax money went was to the border of Texas, where I already live, to keep people who I rely on to work out. And so what I decided to do with a few of my friends, about 15 of us, we got together and we started purchasing properties at tax auctions and encouraging our other friends and everybody else to purchase property in Flint, Michigan. And we fixed them up, we made them look better, and we put water filters in there. We changed all the piping all the way to the street as best we possibly could, and rented the homes out again. We provided them drinkable water, we provided them hot water, everything they could possibly need to survive, and we rented out homes. Now we're at the point where we're starting to owner finance homes back to people who are already living there, now that they can afford to pay their mortgage, now that they care about paying their mortgage. So we just saw the opportunity where there was a promise made, nothing came, and we just fulfilled that promise with our own wallet.
Wow. And I guess, you know, to me, that would elevate you in that rental market, because there's still going to be people living there that are in need of housing. And I've got the opportunity to live in a house where the water comes out and it's brown, but I'm told it's still drinkable, versus I can go to your property and you have all the latest infiltration equipment. I mean, see, I know how much it costs to put that stuff in. I put it in my own house myself. It's not that expensive, but there's a perceived value there. And that probably elevated you. And so imagine you rented those houses out as soon as they hit the market, they're probably rented.
Exactly. So as soon as they came on, we had people coming in, you know, our first ads were, you know, clean water here. I mean, that attracted a lot of people, and that really helped us kind of understand that the rental need there was much larger than I anticipated. So we sent the word out to all of our clients and pretty much allowed them to get in on the, I wouldn't say the ground floor, but get in on some of this opportunity and provide cleaner water to some of these people who truly needed it, while also, you know, boosting their portfolios.
And so what intrigues me about that, again, is most investors, they would look at Flint and they would say, no way am I going there. There's too many problems with the water. Those properties aren't going to be worth anything. You came in and you said, all right, that's a prime buying opportunity. All right. So buy when it's depressed, because there's certain economic conditions or environmental conditions that are going to drive prices down. And with a little bit of TLC, you bring those prices and those that income back up. So that's great. I mean, it's just that whole mindset. You know, it's that investing mindset that you have that I think is unique. And I want to talk about how you find opportunities out there and how you come across this. But we need to take a short break. So when we come back, let's go into how you find your opportunities and what you look for.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned, all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs, designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. It's Clint Kuhns here with Anderson Business Advisors. And right before the break on our podcast, we were talking with Solomon Floyd from Reunion Investments about how he finds opportunities where other investors will probably just walk on by. And that's a unique perspective. And Solomon's sharing with us some of the different strategies he has used to maximize his investing and those of his investors, because he also works with investors who come to him because they just don't want to do the legwork themselves. I mean, as you know, I own quite a few properties across the United States, and the vast majority of my portfolio has not been built through my own efforts. I've worked through individuals like Solomon to find properties for me, to find the opportunities, because I'm too busy to go out there and do it all on my own. So when we ended at the right at the break there, I asked you, you know, how do you find these opportunities? I mean, do you just throw a dart at the board? Are you going through the Wall Street Journal every day? You know, are you watching, you know, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, finding this stuff out? Or what drives you to find these things?
So I don't know. Not that I don't know. I definitely do. The idea that Reunion uses to find new properties is primarily focused on what's not being provided somewhere out there, right? So when it comes to the way that we find our affordable housing, we look at a market, for example, Dallas, Austin, Houston, where the housing market has skyrocketed. But I mean, where are people getting these properties from? They're buying them from somewhere. They're buying them from landlords who can't afford to fix their properties up, who can't afford to raise rent because they can't fix their properties up. and they need to sell, thus creating a market where there's no affordable housing for the people who work at the McDonald's, the Walgreens, the Walmart. And they have to go further and further and further and further and further away from the city until there's no more. So our solution that we come up with is to purchase the affordable housing. And through our ideas of public-private partnership, we partner with cities, we partner with companies, and try to perform the easiest way to make sure that there is always going to be affordable housing for members who need it. And ourselves, we make the Section 8 money, we make the DASH HUD money, we make the money that comes from providing the service to people who truly need it. And our goal, when it comes down to it, is these people will eventually leave. They will find new jobs, they will go to college, they will seek other opportunities. And from there, they will be able to move out. And with those homes that we've got now, investors are still going to be looking for places to buy and flip homes and put up, you know, $1 trillion apartment complexes. We'll have the land in those areas to be able to flip that to those investors when we need to.
You know, I was thinking on something when you said that. When it comes to affordable housing, Section 8, a lot of people have negative connotations about getting into affordable housing and having Section 8 tenants in there. And I want to know your experience, because in my experience, there's different types of renters when it comes to Section 8. I've found personally, and it's just from my own observations, that in a multifamily context, a Section 8 renter tends to be a lot different than in a single family context. What I've found in the single family context, those renters that I rent to, they take care of the properties. They have a sense of pride in ownership and having a house, and they do a lot to maintain that, more so than I've seen on the multifamily side, because they don't get that same pride of ownership. You know, it's just an apartment building, you have a small apartment. Do you see that a lot in what you're doing right now as well?
So that's a great question. We have not really experimented with the multifamily space when it comes to our Section 8 and DASH HUD rentals. The reason being that, exactly, right? Like, how am I going to ensure that I build a quality product that encourages safety and well-being if everybody's going to trash it? So we focus primarily in the single family housing space for the reason that it also provides a better exit strategy for us. On top of that, yes, our renters longer and willing to get a better job in order to afford their own home or to rent a better one themselves. Being in a home psychologically makes you feel better than being in an apartment. You can feel as though there is some aspect of ownership, even when there's not. Versus being in an apartment, none of the stuff, only the things that are really there that are yours. I mean, how many memories are truly made in an amazing apartment versus first steps at a home versus, you know, that day that, you know, I don't know, there was a hellstorm and you had a parking, you had a garage to park your car.
Yeah. I know that's just been my experience. And I think, you know, what you're doing from that standpoint is really great. And for people can learn from that, that, you know, there's opportunities in providing affordable housing and you shouldn't shy away from those opportunities. If you know where to look in the right cities, in the right markets, then again, here's another opportunity for you to make money. So how are you operating in today's market? Are you seeing anything going on out there that causes you concern with your investing? Have you changed your model of what you're doing with your investors and where you're finding opportunities?
Absolutely. So our reach has grown within the 5 years that my company has been alive. And we can now target cities that are much further away than our home base, which is here in Texas. So we're starting to get into Oklahoma. We're starting to get into California. We're starting to get into places where we're seeing a decline of living, whether it's affordable housing, whether it's just housing period at all. In Oklahoma, you know, the problem is there's just not enough housing and not enough people out there to build it because not enough people there can afford it. So how do we combat things like that? You know, our big push for us has primarily been adapting and providing opportunities and investment strategies through commercial and small business. Now, providing that and giving, again, these people a sense of ownership, because Joe from down the block started his own barbershop, that's going to allow people to take care of the city. They're going to pick up the trash in front of the storefront. They're going to show up every day and, you know, say hi to Joe or whoever and actually take ownership of what they really care about. And providing that to towns, cities, and just individuals allows us to, once more, again, make those returns for ourselves and our investors.
Yeah, see, you know, it's because of this approach, you know, the way you model the stuff you've done on the military side. I think as you've talked, there's so much more to this. We can't even touch on it today, what you've already explained to me. This is why, I mean, I'm pleased to have you coming out to our executive retreat this year in Maui in October, because you're going to bring a whole new perspective. I mean, you're young, you're energetic, you're going out there, you're actually putting deals together, you're doing it in a conscious way to help people out. I mean, we didn't even get into the building the communities, what you've done as far as making jobs available as well, finding how to put together planned developments that will do more. So I think it's great. And if anybody's listening right now and they wanted to find out more, then maybe they have a house near a military base, you want to be part of that program, maybe they want to get with you on looking for these tertiary markets where there are opportunities, how would they best go about getting hold of you?
Absolutely. So you can go to our website, reunioninvestmentsllc.com, or you can give us a call at 214-438-4809, extension 0. Give us a call. Let us know what your style of investing is, what you're looking for, where your properties are, and we'll see if we're good fits for each other and helping develop communities and creating some passive income while you sit at home and watch your favorite TV show.
All right, Solomon, thank you for coming on, guys. Be sure to reach out to him. Also have the information in the show notes where you can click on there. I'll take you right to his website. But thank you for listening in. Solomon, thank you for being on. It was a great 30 minutes. Everybody, I know that you gave us a lot of great information. There's so much more out there. I look forward to seeing you in Hawaii.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and I'll see you in October.
All right. Take care, partner.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.